welcome into the Rookie Big Board Podcast. This is a special episode doing a four-round rookie mock draft. This will be the start of it, rounds one and two. And this is not your average rookie mock draft for multiple reasons. First on, I have brought on a couple of guests that are going to help draft with me. But before that, we got to get to the setup here. This is going to be a rookie mock draft with landing spots, even though we are pre-draft. I have done a full seven-round mock draft. These are not imaginary landing spots. This is really where I could see these players landing. And then I gave the player pool with landing spots to my buddies Kane and Alfred, and they have drafted with me. So we're going to go through this mock draft together, go through landing spots. It's going to be a really good exercise in player value and looking at how player values can change based on realistic landing spots. Before we jump into it, I have to introduce my guest mockers here with me. Kane of the Devy Marketplace and everywhere else. Kane, my man, thanks for joining. Just give us a quick introduction to your work.
Yeah, so I'm Kane Fasel. You can find me on Twitter at Devy_Kane. My podcast is called Devy Marketplace, in which we look at Devy values and try to figure out when we should be buying and when we should be selling players in order to know the market and our leagues a little bit better. And then obviously I'm over at the Fantasy Headliners, it's called Headliners U is the new channel. So make sure to check that out. It's on YouTube. It's just a place where we're going to be going over Devy stuff and scouting stuff and pairing those two worlds together. So come and check us out.
And I'll link that channel in the show description if you are watching, and also in the show notes if you are listening. Alfred, my man, well, you got a lot of great projects coming up as well. And so tell us what you're up to.
Yeah, so you know, I just started a website with some friends actually that we've all basically met on Twitter, but we all have a passion for deep Devy and even Campus to Canton. So we started a website called campusdecanton.com, and you know, basically we have content there for anybody who is in a deeper Devy league, and certainly obviously Campus to Canton leagues, but a lot of our content focuses on deep college scouting, both for how they're going to do in college and also how they're going to do when they do go to the NFL. But yeah, we've got a lot of spring game coverage coming out. We're doing all sorts of spring game reviews, what it means, where these players are playing, what can we expect in 2021. We have an awesome data app that has some info you can't really get anywhere else, which is tracking college players by age-adjusted production against NFL players and other college players, and you can plot multiple guys in the same graph. It's a really exciting tool. And then we got coming right up next week, a live stream of the draft. We're going to be chatting about that. I'm sure, you know, you guys both probably have something else planned, but that should be a good time too. So tons of stuff coming out of Campus to Canton, and I'm really excited to keep pumping that website.
Awesome. Yeah, man. So what I got with me here, I got Alfred, who is an analytics guy. So he looks at the game in a different way, but knows player value. I got Kane, who is also a tape guy, but hates all of my takes. So we have a lot of different opinions coming here and some guys that really understand player value. So fellas, let's jump right into this four-round rookie mock draft. And again, this episode will be rounds one and two, and then we'll have our follow-up rounds three and four. Alfred, you got the first pick here. This is a Superflex PPR, no tight end premium rookie draft here. So I'm sure the first pick is a really difficult one. Tell us the player and let us know the landing spot.
Yeah, so, you know, total chalk here. There's no reason to do anything else than take Trevor Lawrence in the Superflex League. Based on the mock draft, he's going to Jacksonville again. Super chalk. There's no surprises here. I can't imagine any less than 90% of all Superflex leagues will have Trevor Lawrence as the 101, and I am not going to veer off of that now.
All right, nice and easy, Kane. Maybe things starting to get interesting here with the 102. Who are you going to go for, and where was their landing spot?
This isn't interesting. It's not interesting at all. It's Justin Fields. He's the second best quarterback in the draft. Some, if they're being a little goofy, they could have him as the best quarterback in the draft. Whatever floats your boat. But you had Justin Fields going to the 49ers, and I think the 49ers right now are probably the best landing spot for a quarterback right now. And then you add Justin Fields, who has terrific accuracy. Then you add in the idea that this guy's also very mobile. And then all of a sudden, we're unlocking the Konami code, baby. So all of a sudden, right, Justin Fields is now such a talented player because in that offense, they can run up to 30 or 40% of zone read, which is what Shanahan likes to do. So get ready for him to add rushing yards on top of those passing yards and get all them tutties. It's the easiest 102 in a draft that we've seen in a very long time.
Awesome. Well, here's where things start to get a little bit spicy, I think. You know, you could keep working down the quarterbacks, or you could look for a pivot here. 103 is the first spot I think your rookie draft should really start getting a little different. And with this situation, I had Najee Harris landing in Pittsburgh. And if Harris lands with the Steelers, I'm very comfortable taking him at that 103. I think it's a high-volume role. I think they're going to need him in the running game as well as the passing game. And I think it's a realistic landing spot for Najee Harris at the back end of the first round. I do expect him to be the first running back off the board, so I would absolutely love to take Harris, who's my running back one here, with the 103, despite the fact that I do usually prioritize quarterbacks here, especially in rookie and startup drafts. But Alfred, we'll keep this thing going here on to 104.
Yeah, so I was presented with an interesting, I did not see a quarterback that I didn't think I would take a quarterback at four, but since you jumped it with Najee in the third slot, I had to take my third quarterback in the draft, and I love him too. Trey Lance, who you've got going in the real life draft at 104 to the Falcons. And so in this scenario, I've got, if I have a team that I'm drafting for and I need a quarterback, I've got Trevor Lawrence who's going to start week one. Now I have a luxury pick that I'm going to take Trey Lance, who may sit for half the year, maybe the whole year. I don't know what they're going to do with Matt Ryan, but you know, the you know, plays in a dome. Falcons have a history of good offense. Not that that really matters because the coaching is going to change, but I love that. He's going to have Ridley from the get-go, Julio Jones for however many games he plays. They're probably going to draft a running back eventually. It's just it's going to be a good offense, I think, and it'll all start with Trey Lance. I love the potential, and in Superflex, honestly, and I think Devi Kane would probably agree, you're taking stocks. And, you know, Trey Lance is a stock that can really go boom. And so I want that. If I need a different position player in middle of the year or the next year, I can flip Trey Lance if he's good. And so I, you know, this is a luxury pick. I don't have to use him, but if he's good, he's going to be worth whatever I could have taken here plus money. So that's what I'm doing.
All right. Well, Kane, are you going to keep that strategy going here? One more big quarterback on the board.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that Alfred mentions stocks because, Matt, you happen to take the one stock that's not really going to increase, right? And that's a running back. Can I attack you for a hot second? You mind?
I mean, you could try, but yeah, I think he's going to increase when he finishes as running back one after – or a running back one after his rookie season.
Well, that's not going to happen because the offensive line is dookie. So we'll just start there for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I think the really interesting thing, right, is what's going to increase the most in value between the NFL draft and starting week one, right? The thing that's going to increase the most is a quarterback if he's named the starter, right? That's just the value. So if I'm a value guy, which I am, I have to be taking Zach Wilson because I know he's going to be the starter. Who else is going to be the starter? Right, they're going to have Denzel Mims taking snaps. Like, who else is going to be there for the Jets? Right, J-E-T-S, Jets. He's the only guy that's going to be able to throw the pass, right? Throw the ball. Only guy there. So it's a pretty safe bet for a guy to increase in value. Right, as soon as that pick is made, that stock is worth so much more because he'll be named the starter really, really quickly. So I have to go with Zach Wilson here at pick six or five or wherever I am.
105, Zach Wilson to the Jets.
There it is.
And that brings me up here with the 106. This is a pretty easy decision for me. We have a big playmaker, a really big talent with Ja'Marr Chase. I have Ja'Marr Chase coming off the board here to the Dolphins with their six pick. So I have him being a top 10 pick. I think he's going to step in right away, be a big value guy, and he's easily the wide receiver one for me in this draft. And landing spot, I don't think is going to move Ja'Marr Chase around too much, but landing with Tua, who's a quarterback that I still have a lot of confidence in, is certainly only going to help Ja'Marr Chase. So I am happy here to take him at 106. Guys, this is this next group of six picks here, I think this is where things are really going to start to get shooken up a little bit, and I think this is the meat and potatoes folks are looking for. So I'm excited to jump into it, and we're going to start here with Alfred in the 107.
Yeah, so this was tough, and I have to say, I'll say something later, but as of right now, I'm looking at the board. I know I get to pick in two more picks, so I'm trying to do the math. Who's likely going to be taken in the next two spots? Who can I get at 110 between the guys I want right now, which is a group of players, and so it's different than a real draft the way we did this, you know, because I don't have to wait a whole round. Like, I'm going to get another pick. So I kind of was doing some calculus here and decided I would take the one guy who I feel like can't be replaced, which is Kyle Pitts, because he's a tight end. I know Kane might get mad at me for this one because he's not a believer in the value there with a tight end. But I just think there's a lot of receivers I really like. There's even some running backs I like. But Kyle Pitts, I don't care where he goes. In this case, it was the Panthers. But I don't care where he goes. He's a potential game changer. His ceiling is as high as anyone because of the position scarcity. And so I'm taking a swing there, knowing I can get a couple wide receivers that I really like. Now that Chase is gone, I mean, if Chase had been there, I would have taken him. But now that Chase is gone, there's a bevy of receivers I like. The running backs are a little meh, so I took the ceiling upside with Kyle Pitts here.
All right, first tight end off the board, Kyle Pitts. He's been the guy that I have heard the most questions about. Everybody wants to take a much higher than 107, so I applaud our discipline here on this mock draft. And Kane, we're going to kick it over to you here with the 108, which is, we've talked about this off record, but I love this landing spot, and I know you're kind of behind it as well.
Yeah, so first, I love Travis Etienne. Right. I absolutely love Travis Etienne. If there's a guy that can hit a home run at the running back position, it's Travis Etienne in this draft. There's no running back in this draft like him, and there was no running back like Travis Etienne in last year's draft. Right. Everyone from last year's draft is really, really great, but no one can hit a home run like Travis Etienne can. Right. He has the speed and the acceleration to be able to do that in a zone run scheme. And I think he fits so well in a zone run scheme because he can already manipulate linebackers. So when he puts his foot in the ground and goes, that one cut style that we saw Arian Foster be the king of right back the Texans, that's what we're looking for here. So the landing spot that I'm a huge fan of, you have him going to Jacksonville, which makes a ton of sense. If you look at the running backs that Urban Meyer likes, they're fast. He likes fast running backs. And sure, you can say, well, who knows what the 40 times actually were at Ohio State, because those obviously got a little wonky. But he's liked fast running backs, and he's liked fast running backs everywhere. So I think it's really, really exciting for Travis Etienne to go at that spot, because I think it's an absolute home run. And if you're a James Robinson supporter, I think you might need to look at them adding a running back at some point.
Yeah, I think it's happening one way or the other. And in this situation, it's with some pretty high draft capital. Guys, one of my favorite landing spots worked out here in this mock draft that I did, which makes a lot of sense here. But at 109, I'm going with my wide receiver 2 in this year's draft, which is Jalen Waddle. And I love the idea of him landing with the Los Angeles Chargers. I think he's a really nice balance there. With Allen, you know, you could push him to the outside a little bit more often, extend Mike Williams, and just let Jalen Waddle absolutely eat over the middle of the field with Justin Herbert. So I normally, I have Waddle pretty highly ranked. I don't know if I would have prioritized him here if I didn't love his landing spot, but he's the first guy for me who really kind of makes himself a priority at his landing spot. And at 109 to get my wide receiver 2, I feel very confident in that, despite the fact that I probably passed up on some guys that folks would have rather taken here at 109. But I'll go ahead and pass it off here to Alfred, making his final selection of our first round rookie mock draft here.
This one really hurt. I think when we were doing the slow draft, I woke up one morning to see this draft pick made. And, you know, when I was talking about players, it was really Pitts or Waddle for me at 7. And I kind of thought I could get him here. And I just thought maybe a running back would go, and maybe Devonta Smith. I don't know. There's Rondale Moore. There's a lot of guys people like. I thought maybe Kane would take Rashad Bateman. He wouldn't take Waddle. just because you love Minnesota, but I know you went by your board. So anyway, this one really hurt because Waddle to, I agree 100% with you, Matt. Waddle to the Chargers is just, oh, dream. I mean, it's a dream. I think they can be like Kansas City light if they have a guy like Waddle and Keenan Allen and Mike Williams is fine. He'll play like the Sammy Watkins role or whatever. Anyway, yeah, that's just exhilarating and Justin Herbert delivering that ball. So anyway, I had to reassess, get my bearings, and I was actually pretty happy with what I wound up at 110. You've got one of my favorite landing spots for a running back, which is the Dolphins, and you have Javonte Williams going to the Dolphins early second round here in pick 36. And I actually love that landing spot. You know, regardless of what I think about Javonte Williams, I do like him a bit. I mean, he's not a stud athlete, but you know, I think he's good. And if he goes to the Dolphins, I mean, they're going to give him 20 touches a game. I mean, he's just like, what? There's literally nothing else going on there. I don't care about Myles Gaskin. I do not care about Salvon Ahmed. Just, I do not care about those guys. Like, they're nothing. So, especially if they spent a high round two on Javonte Williams, he's getting 20 carries a game, 20 touches. He can receive a little bit. I actually love that landing spot and will probably target any running back that goes in the top two rounds to the Dolphins. And in this case, it's Javonte Williams. Pretty happy to get him at 110.
All right, Kane, that brings you up here to 111.
I've never been more sad to make a pick in a draft than this one. I don't like Mac Jones.
I just saw it.
I don't think he's that talented. But the one thing he does is play quarterback, right? At some point he has to go in the first round because he's a quarterback, right? And if he hits low end quarterback two for a couple seasons, he's already hit, right? That's well worth the price of the 111. I have so many questions about Mac Jones' talent and about if he actually will fit on where you have landing spot, which is the Washington football team. Mainly because I don't think that they're just okay just constantly keeping him in the pocket and having everything right so tight. And that's what they're going to have to do because you're drafting a guy that has terrible work in the pocket. If you're saying that he's good in the pocket, watch the game against Georgia where he actually had pressure. Especially the first half, and he was straight cheeks. So just watch that. And Mac Jones, sure, he can make some throws to really, really talented receivers that will slow down and catch the ball for him. But I don't think he has that ability in the NFL. But hey, he's a quarterback, so we have to go ahead and take him here in the first round.
Kane taking one for the team and putting on his brave face, taking Mac Jones. By the way, I'll point out when I did this mock draft, it was no trades. So, you know, I doubt Mac Jones in the real life NFL draft falls to 19. But I do think Washington still could be a contender, even if in real life that means moving up and trading for him. Fellas, final selection in the first round of our rookie mock draft here. It's going to be Terrace Marshall for me. I'm a big Terrace Marshall fan. He is my wide receiver three. I still expect him to be a first-round wide receiver, and I pushed the chips in. I went against the universe and every bit of logic that exists out there, and I gave Green Bay a wide receiver with their first-round selection. I really like Terrace Marshall. I think if he carries this draft capital, which I'm hoping he will, he'll solidify himself as a top-three wide receiver for even more folks. A field stretcher with Aaron Rodgers' arm could be really, really dangerous, especially if Davante Adams is pulling the top coverage. It could be really, really dangerous for fantasy purposes, and I mean that in the best way possible. But let's go ahead and let's jump into round two. Let's get spicy, fellas. This is where things are starting to get really kind of choose your own player and where our favorites are going to start coming out and where these landing spots are going to start getting pretty fun. So, Alfred, go ahead and start us up here with our round two selection.
Okay, well, when I was disappointed last pick that I didn't get Waddle, I am thrilled, and I figured I'd be able to get him here, but I took Elijah Moore at the 201. He got mocked to the Saints, at pick, I think, what is it, 28 in the first round of your mock real NFL draft. So you're telling me Elijah Moore and all his production and his young production and his ridiculous 40% dominator rating and all that good stuff is also going to get first round draft capital? I mean, I don't. He probably should have gone higher. Like, that's just ridiculous. He will, at that point, with first round draft capital, I would say he probably checks every single possible box. Off the top of my head, I can't really think of what he wouldn't check.
Size.
He's, I mean, yeah, 5'9". His BMI is okay, but yeah, he's a little short, but his BMI is fine. And anyway, but then you go to the team context. It's the Saints. It's in the dome. You got Michael Thomas taking obviously coverage away from him. And then they don't have a guy like him. So I really like the fact that you get a player going to a team that he's got a skill set they do not have. So that means he's kind of indispensable. And they're going to have to figure out ways to get him the ball. I love the landing spot. And just as long as it's not Taysom Hill, just at least give me YOLO Winston back there. You know, chucking the ball around will be just fine for me. I think you're looking at top 24 wide receiver as a rookie. I mean, that just would be a supreme landing spot, in my opinion.
All right, Kane, you're up to make what I'm assuming is going to be your favorite selection in this mock draft.
Yeah, this is super easy. It's my wide receiver two, Rashad Bateman, because he's my bae. Rashad Bateman is, I think, one of the most technically sound wide receivers in this draft. The way that he can move in and out of his routes, he sinks his hips really low. Yeah, sure, he's not 6'2", 210 pounds like people thought he was. And the funny part is, right, even though he isn't that, he plays like he is, because he was underthrown every game he ever played, right? He had Tanner Morgan, TM2, as his quarterback. He was underthrown everywhere, and he was thrown behind and thrown like everywhere that you could have thrown a ball. But he has ridiculous body control, so he was able to catch all of those and has great ability at contested catching. So I really like it, because the landing spot is the Lions. And did you think Quintez Cephas was going to get 200 targets? Like, the targets have to go somewhere, right? TJ Hockenson can't have 280 targets. He'll get hurt again. So they have to go somewhere, and they get a true wide receiver one, a guy that does really well playing both in the slot as well as on the outside. So Rashad Bateman, I think, is just going to eat, because the Lions are going to lose a lot of games, and they have to throw the ball somewhere. And that's going to be Rashad Bateman. And he might not score a ton of points for you in like first and second quarter of games, but when fourth quarter rolls around and Jared Goff is slinging it, sometimes to his team, sometimes to the other team, like, Rashad Bateman's going to be the benefactor of a lot of those targets.
Yeah, I'm not even anywhere near as high on Rashad Bateman as you are, but this landing spot would absolutely drive him up, because volume equals fantasy points, right? And there's a ton of volume to go around in Detroit. So I think at 41, I know a lot of people think he's going to be off the board earlier. I think he could still be there at 41, and I think it would be a really fantastic fit for both parties involved. So we're going to go from a guy who went off the board 41st overall in my mock to a guy who went off the board 12th overall, which is Devonta Smith. So we're taking a top 12 wide receiver, former Heisman winner here, after at least three wide receivers that went off the board later. But I think this is a good spot for Devonta Smith in terms of his value. I think we've kind of reached a point where he's the last top tier wide receiver that hasn't gone off the board yet. And why not another undersized wide receiver in Philadelphia? I know they love their rock, paper, scissors, and I hear Devonta Smith has a pretty good record with that. So it seemed like a nice fit for me. And this is a situation of just taking advantage of a teardrop for me, especially at the wide receiver position. So I'm going to take the Devonta Smith, and another guy who could come into opportunity, because Rager sure did not win that wide receiver room over. And, maybe it's Travis Fulgham's team again, but I sure hope, for the sake of the organization and the rest of us, that it is no longer Travis Fulgham's team. But Alfred, we're going to jump on over to you here with the 204, which is a landing spot I don't believe I've heard before, but I actually think it would be very good from an NFL perspective.
Yeah, and I was a little surprised here, because, this player has fallen for me a touch, but I really don't want to be – this just hang on, the 5'7 is too short to do anything in the NFL, although he would be a historical outlier just from a trend standpoint. But yeah, I like Rondale Moore. You had him mocked to the Jets in the second round, so that was kind of the big thing for me. My biggest concern is that he's going to fall in the draft, in the real draft, maybe third, or I mean, I've heard some whispers of maybe day three, which feels like it's not going to happen. But in this case, he got, I believe, well, hold on, 66. So I guess that's third round.
Yeah, top of the third.
Okay, so that is third round, but still day two, and goes to a team that doesn't, I mean, you know, they got Denzel Mims and they brought over Corey Davis, but still, I think I really like Rondale Moore to be in the slot there. They, you know, he's going to be way better than Jamison Crowder. I think Jamison Crowder then becomes extinct, and he's just so dynamic. You're going to have a new quarterback, Zach Wilson, slinging the ball around. You know, it's definitely worth the gamble here at this point in the draft. He seemed like he had the most game-breaking ability of any of the players, just looking at it that way at this point. So it felt like a pretty decent, and then I could get my Moore stack.
When we did this, when we were working through these picks ahead of time, I said to Kane, I really hope you take one of the next two guys, because I don't want to have to make the decision. Because Kane, I think we've got two great landing spots coming up here with these next two players. So who did you take here at 205?
If there's ever a tiebreaker for me between a running back with a good landing spot and a wide receiver with a good landing spot, I'm going to take the running back with a good landing spot, just because I can get value quicker. Right. So my pick here was really, really easy. It's Kenny Gainwell at 205, though I'm not the biggest fan of Kenny Gainwell. If the NFL is, so am I. So if he's getting, you know, day two capital and going to the Atlanta Falcons, where they clearly need a running back. And believe it or not, I don't buy into the idea that they're instantly switching to a power run scheme. Right. I know, obviously, the new coaching staff was at the Titans, right? So everyone assumes that they're going to just bring in this offense. But guess what? I think the Atlanta Falcons are still going to try and win some games this year with Matt Ryan. And will they do it? Who knows? But they're going to draft like it. So that means they're probably going to keep the zone run scheme, because that's what they had in place. And it takes so much more to switch a run scheme from zone to power than anyone thinks. So I think Kenny Gainwell in a zone run scheme, even for a year, is going to have crazy potential, just because he's going to get all of those touches in an offense that can move the ball really efficiently.
All right. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to watch part two of this rookie mock draft 3 and 4, because I did send another running back to Atlanta later in the draft. So it'll be interesting. And I can't wait to talk about how that might shake things up. But I think they're a team that could actually double dip, just given their draft pick and their need at the running back position. At 206 here, I took Tylan Wallace to Tennessee. I absolutely love this landing spot in general for a wide receiver. I could see multiple players going to Tennessee in the first round if they choose wide receiver. Terrace Marshall, Rashad Bateman, if he goes in the first round. Even Eli Moore, who I would not like as much just in terms of scheme fit. If anybody goes to Tennessee, there's a huge vacated volume with Corey Davis moving on and a good passing attack still in place, despite the fact that, you know, they switched their offensive coordinator. So to get Tylan Wallace here, a wide receiver I really like, I think he's flying under the radar, to have that opportunity in Tennessee where he could play on the outside, which is not something I expect him to do in the NFL, but I think he could at Tennessee, or they can move him to the inside. So there's some versatility there, and I'm happy to take him at 206. Gentlemen, we have 6 picks left in round 2, so let's go ahead and let's finish strong here. We got a nice set of players coming up, and Alfred, as always, you're going to kick us off.
Let's do it. Okay. This was one I didn't really see coming, but I took a look at the board sitting here at 207 and realized that in your mock draft, a surprise third round pick was taken, and that's Trey Sermon to the New York Jets at pick 86 overall. So he's got day two draft capital in this scenario, to a team that does not have a playmaker at the running back position. I don't really think P. Ryan is the answer. He was also later draft pick, so Trey Sermon would have draft capital on him, new regime. So do I feel great about stacking Jets in this rookie draft? No, I probably don't. But at this point, it just feels like a value pick. I mean, it's picking up a running back with day two draft capital on a depth chart that sucks. And I think at worst, he's a two down banger. I think he can catch a little bit. I don't think he's, you know, outstanding in any one area, but he certainly had a good end of the season. And if the NFL wants to say he's a third round pick, then that's good enough for me to take a shot here. And then, you know, where the upside is starting to dwindle away, in my opinion. So just going with the positional value, and like Kane has said, you know, if he's deemed the starter in the preseason, now all of a sudden we're talking about a major value jump.
Yeah, for folks who might have the rookie drafts before the NFL draft, for folks who might be playing in Devy Campus to Canton Leagues, Trey Sermon is the guy I'm buying everywhere right now on the cheap. I'm not paying a lot for him, but he is somebody who I think could end up being a really good value if he lands on one of these high volume backfields. And it seems like that's the way the NFL is picturing them from everything I'm hearing. So a sneaky value here, I think he ends up being a mid second round pick in most rookie mock drafts post NFL draft. But Kane, speaking of sneaky guys, somebody who's falling really under the radar here is your selection with the next pick.
Yeah, this was my second least favorite pick.
Really?
Because I don't like Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Interesting.
I don't normally draft guys that are big slots. That's just not a prototypical spot to get a ton of fantasy points. But you have him going to the Kansas City Chiefs. And if I've found out anything in my time playing fantasy football, any wide receiver that has a quarterback of Patrick Mahomes instantly has more value than they should. Right. We saw Mecole Hardman. He ended up getting day two capital, and he was getting traded for way more than he was worth, and he hadn't even caught a pass yet. So, and I think people are higher on Amon-Ra St. Brown than they were on Mecole Hardman, obviously, coming in, because Mecole Hardman didn't do anything in college. So I don't necessarily like Amon-Ra St. Brown, but I think he was the best value of what was still there. So I had to just go ahead and take him.
All right. And speaking of value here, that's kind of where I find myself with the 209 pick. I'm going to go ahead and take our second tight end off the board, a full more than a round gap between Kyle Pitts and Pat Freiermuth, who I'm going to take at 209. This was a little difficult for me. I'm a big Brevin Jordan fan, so that's kind of where I would be targeting. But I like the landing spot here for Freiermuth. I have him going to Cincinnati. I think that makes a lot of sense from an NFL standpoint. He's a real two-way tight end, so I think he can contribute to the run game, which I do think they're going to prioritize. He also can stay in and block, which they desperately need any help they can protecting the quarterback. But he also is a nice pass catcher, and a lot of folks want to send Ja'Marr Chase to the Bengals. They want to send Kyle Pitts. I don't think they're going to use early draft capital, but here I have Pat Freiermuth coming off the board with their second round pick at 38, and I think that's where they could look to invest in another weapon for their young quarterback. So I'm happy to take advantage of that. I think it'll be a slow burn for the tight end position. He's not somebody who's necessarily going to produce huge in year one or two, but most tight ends for fantasy purposes are not going to do that. It's a long-term investment, and you're going to bank on the fact that this tight end class at the top might be a little bit stronger than your future options. Alfred, I know this pick was a real emotional roller coaster for you, so go ahead and tell us your 210.
Yes. Oh, boy, this was a toughie. I love the player, and I really do try to not let draft slot or draft, you know, landing spot impact me too much. That's why I make rankings, and I try to get a pretty good feel for how I think about a player before I see where they're going to go. I care about draft capital, but not necessarily individual landing spot. However, in this case, I hate Daniel Jones. I think he is absolute hot garbage, and I think the Giants are kind of going nowhere. And but I love Dyami Brown, and that was the pick here. He got drafted in the third round of your mock to the Giants, and so day two draft capital, check. He's got tons of metrics I love, check. I actually like the film too on him, check. He's got good technical ability off the line. He doesn't only win with deep speed, which people think he's just a deep burner, but he's really not. I think he's got a lot of other skills. Even though he did average like 20 yards of reception for over the last 2 years combined at UNC. And, you know, basically the hope is the Giants suck royally and they get, you know, DJU or Bryce Young in the draft in 2022. But otherwise, I'm taking the player I like and not worrying too much about the draft spot. I feel like he dropped here and I'm happy to get him.
That's the dream, man, from a Giants perspective. All right, Kane, we're going to kick it to you here with 211.
Yeah, so this is a tight end for me, which you're like, "Wah, Kane, I know you hate tight ends." And it's like, you're right. But Brevin Jordan is going to the Jacksonville Jaguars here. And what Jacksonville Jaguars need is just playmakers on either side of the ball. So if they're spending, you know, day two draft capital on someone catching passes, that is important because they have so many holes everywhere on that team. They could have taken an offensive lineman. They could have taken a defensive lineman, a defensive back, a linebacker, a wide receiver. They need every position, right? But they decided to go with the tight end. So that means that he's important to their offense. So I want to just trust that. And plus, he's going to be with a good quarterback for his first contract. He's going to be with Trevor Lawrence. That means that he's going to be catching passes. And believe it or not, Trevor Lawrence threw the ball to tight ends quite a bit in college, especially tight ends that were able to find themselves open using their athleticism. And that's what Brevin Jordan can do, though I don't know what happened at his pro day. Something must have happened to him, must have gotten sick or something. I don't know. I have to make some excuse because I just have no idea what happened. But I think Brevin Jordan is still a great talent. He's a great yak guy. So I think that's where he's really going to fit well into this Urban Meyer like mesh style offense that he ran so well, both at Florida and at Ohio State.
All right, the final selection here in our rookie mock, rounds one and two. I'm going to go ahead and take Dwayne Eskridge. And, you know, Alfred alluded to this a little bit, but know the players that you like heading into the draft. I don't absolutely love this landing spot, but from an NFL perspective, I had Dwayne Eskridge going at pick 111, which is in the fourth round, to the Bengals. And, you know, taking into account, I did give them Pat Freiermuth at the top of the second. You know, they have a big team. Freiermuth, you know, Boyd, Higgins, even Auden Tate. They don't have a lot of speed there. And Eskridge gives them the speed, that guy for Joe Burrow to stretch the field with. So he might not be a high volume guy right off the bat, you know, but he might be a guy who ends up with six or seven touchdowns pretty consistently and could potentially work his way into more consistent volume down the line. So at the end of the second round, he's somebody that I like going in. I think he got a decent landing spot with a quarterback that could push it downfield that matches his explosive skill set. So I'm happy to go ahead and wrap up rounds one and two of this rookie mock draft with Dwayne Eskridge. I appreciate you checking out this rookie mock draft special episode. If you're listening, make sure you're subscribed. If you're watching, please make sure that you like the video and that you're subscribed to the channel. We will be back with rounds three and four of our rookie mock draft.